Several months ago, whenever we began to transition off of Main Street over to this campus, we began to talk a little bit about what that means as a people. And we look back into the book of Joshua, where God used a man named Joshua to transition the Hebrew people from living in a wilderness into living in the promised land, let's call it, and how God used Joshua. We looked back at that several months ago, and we're going to go back to that story today because I do want to remind you of some things as we transition into this new campus. We do believe that this new campus is to be a city on a hill, a light unto many, begin to bring people out of darkness, out of bondage, out of being captivated by the enemy into the wonderful light of God and begin to live in amazing, amazing freedom. And so what begins to take place in Joshua chapter 1, God talks to Joshua about leading these people into what we know as the promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey, a land with all the provision they would ever need to fulfill God's purposes. So today I want to talk about possessing the promise. Possessing the promise. If you have your Bibles with you, I invite you to open it up to Joshua chapter 1. And in Joshua chapter 1, God begins to speak to Joshua here in verse 5, and he says this. He says, Joshua, I will never fail you or abandon you. How many of you believe that God is doing that in your heart and your life today? He'll never fail you or abandon you. He says, be strong and courageous. For you are the one who will lead these people to possess, everybody say possess, yes, to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors I would give them. Joshua, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. And then you will be successful. Everybody say successful. Be successful in everything you do. He says, study this book of instruction continually, known as the Torah in that particular day, the first five books of the Bible. Joshua, study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper. Everybody say prosper. How many of you know God wants you to prosper in life? Come on. How many of you know God wants you to prosper in life? Anybody believe that today, that your God wants you to prosper? Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. This is my commandment. Again, Joshua, be strong and courageous. We could just substitute that right now with the word valorous. Be valorous, Joshua. Be brave, be strong, be courageous. Step into this. I have a promise for you and the people. I need you to possess it, but you need to get some strength. You need to get some courage. You need to get some valor, and you need to be a valorous people, and you need to step into it. Come on. He says, be strong and courageous, but do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Possessing the promise. Possessing the promise. What did Jesus promise us in the scripture? Jesus promises us, those who believe in him, to have eternal life, but he promises us so much more than just to have eternal life one day when we get to heaven. He also promises us that we can live a rich and satisfying life. We could substitute that for saying an abundant life. Jesus says, I have came to give you a rich and satisfying life, an abundant life. He says, the thief comes to what? Kill, steal, and destroy, John 10, chapter 10. He says, but I have come to give you a rich and satisfying life. My purpose is to give you a rich and satisfying life, an abundant life, a life of overflow. Everybody say overflow. Come on. Jesus says his purpose is it just to save you from your sin, but his purpose is to give you a rich and satisfying, abundant life so you can prosper and be everything he has designed you to be. And so we learn from this story, this physical story of Joshua leading the people into the promised land about how to have this rich and satisfying life, how to prosper in life, how to become everything God has designed you to be in life. And so when we look back at this story in Joshua, we begin to understand that God does still want to do the same thing in our life that he did in the people's life back in that day. He wants us to step into his provision, step into his promise, and begin to live that out every single day. But understand, those promises don't come without problems. See, whenever they entered into the promised land, all the problems didn't go away. The abundant land, that doesn't represent heaven, okay, the perfect place, all right? What that represents is the life that God called his people to live, his family to live, the nation of Israel to live. He says, I'm going to plant you in this place so you can be a reflection to all the nations around me about who I am, my power in your life, my provision in your life, my leadership in your life, so that you can be an example to them and they can see that I'm a God that takes care of my people, and I'll do what I say I'll do. I'll fulfill my promise. And see, what God is saying to you today, he'll do the same thing in your life if you'll step into the promised land, if you'll walk fully into it with courage, with strength, with valor. He tells Joshua three times in Joshua chapter 1 to be strong and to courageous. Don't be terrified. He knew that there was going to be some things in the abundant life that would begin to try to hold them back from living to their full God potential. One of the reasons God delivered the people from Egypt was to show his powerful hand that he can deliver us from bondage. But God took the people on a journey to the promised land in order to get Egypt out of them so that they can move into the promised land with the full blessing of God on their life. See, some of us are in a wilderness right now, and God's still trying to get Egypt out of you. Because the reality of it is you're still living defeated because of what happened back in Egypt. And let me tell you something, if God has delivered you by the power of Jesus's blood out of bondage, out of slavery to sin, he did it on purpose and with a purpose, and he's gonna take you on a journey so he can get that shame, that guilt, that defeat out of your mind so you can step fully into the promise and be all he's designed you to be. But understand there will be problems in the promised land. But you also have potential because you have God living in you as you step into the fullness of God's plan for your life. Again, one day God is returning. Jesus is coming back, and he is going to set up the fullness of his kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. But right now, what we are we're kingdom citizens. We're aliens to this world, but we're bringing up there down here as we walk through this life. But this life still has trouble. It has challenges. But one day, Jesus will come back and put all those challenges and all that pain and all that trouble underneath his feet. But until then, let's live by the power of the Holy Spirit, the overflow of God in our life, and let's expect him to fulfill his promise. But if you're going to do that, you got to do what Joshua did. You have to be prepared. Everybody say, be prepared. This isn't the Boy Scouts. This is the living army of God. It's the local church. This is a place for God's people to step into the fullness of his plan in this earth. This is a place for your faith to be encouraged to walk in the fullness of who God says that you are. This is a place for your hopes to be elevated. This is a place for you to begin to understand that God has designed you with a unique purpose, and he plants you in a place to fulfill his purpose. But it doesn't come without challenges. So prepare yourself. How do we prepare ourselves? Well, the Bible says in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, for Joshua be strong and courageous. But he goes back and he tells Joshua, he says, study this book of instruction continually. That means often. That means, you know what? Continually meditate on that book. Meditate on it day and night so you'll be sure to obey everything written in it, because there's going to be things that's going to try to get you off track, Joshua. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. You become what you begin to believe. You become what mostly gets into your head, that gets into your heart, and it eventually comes out of your hands. You become what you give your allegiance to. And again, I don't know what your allegiance is to, but here the Bible tells Joshua, you're going to be successful in everything I've created you to do, Joshua, if you will give your allegiance to me and you'll begin to look at these instructions continually. Now, many of us are rebellious people. We don't really like to follow instructions. We like to do it our way, right? I mean, think about when you tried to put those toys together at Christmas for your kids. You tried to do it your way. Come on. You didn't continually look at the instructions. You didn't continually observe, put screw A with nut B through hole C. Come on. And then thread the bolt and then tighten it with a wrench before you move on to step two. Some of you just skipped step one altogether because you thought, well, I got this figured out, blah, blah, blah. You put it in the wrong hole, and then you have to take the whole thing back together because guess what? You didn't follow the instructions clearly. God tells Joshua, listen, if you want to succeed and prosper and you want to live and possess the promise and be all I've designed you to be, go back, Joshua, and keep on studying the book continually. My friends, that's why we encourage people to read their Bible. It's amazing to me how many people come to church on the weekend. The only Bible they ever get all week long is K-Love, a song they hear on K-Love, and then a word spoken from here instead of them picking up their paper copy of the Bible or digital copy of the Bible and reading it. All they get is a devotion. If that's all you get, that's great. But what you need to learn to do is go back, study it continually, and remind yourself of the goodness of God, the faithfulness of God, and what God has put you here to do continually. Study it. Meditate on it. What are you meditating on? Fox News? CNN? Because I'm telling you right now, you're becoming what you're meditating on. If you're meditating on the troubles all the time instead of the prosperity that God wants to develop in you and through you, you'll keep going back and living in the trouble. But the reality of it is sometimes we're so focused on the past and the sin instead of the future that God deposited his spirit in us for, that we miss so much about what God wants to do. And his spirit will guide you and direct you, my Bible says, as you partner with him and you begin to digest what he has said in his word. But many people think they're being led by the Spirit of God, and it's contrary to the word of God. And let me tell you something. God doesn't lead you to contradict his word. God doesn't lead you in a direction that his word hasn't laid out and says, this is the way, walk in it. God says, don't deviate from it to the left, to the right. But what we do is we continue to begin to go in this stream called culture, and we deviate little by little, and we find ourselves so far off course that we're missing everything that God wants to do through us. You can't deviate. Walk the path. Continue to be who God has designed you to be. And if you get off path, ask God to kick your butt and get you back on the path. It's really important. You know, vision leaks. And what I mean by that is God has set the direction. He has set the vision. He has set the path. But we kind of want to do things our own way sometimes, and we just kind of begin to drift in on God and say, God, well, let's move it this way a little bit. And then we wake up 2 weeks later, and it's like, move this far. And then 4 weeks later, it's moved this far. And then in 3 months, we find ourselves beginning to be totally disconnected from the vision of what God's doing through the local church. And we're this far. And then we're sitting at home all alone and we're this far. And the reason maybe you are this far is because you got away from studying the book continually and you deviated to the left or to the right. And God says, could you begin to get yourself prepared for greatness? Joshua, don't you deviate to the left nor to the right. Because if you're going to fulfill all I got in store for you in this promised land, I need you to get locked in on who I am. He goes on to say there in Joshua chapter 3, verse 5, he then told Joshua, he says, Joshua, tell the people this. So Joshua told the people, purify yourselves. Everybody say, purify. For tomorrow the Lord will do great wonders among you. See, the word of God begins to wash over us and purify us. The book of Titus says we are being washed in the word of God. And as we're being washed in the word of God, God begins to purify us for his purpose. That doesn't always mean that we're perfect people, but what God is doing is exactly what I did in this cup. You know, some of us, our life is filled with all kind of other stuff, and God is simply pouring in the goodness of his word, and he's washing us, and he's purifying us, and he's dumping new things in so that we can be a bright and shining light into this world. He says, Joshua, sanctify yourself. Tell the people to sanctify, purify, set themselves apart for something great. Man, this is why God asks us not to follow the ways of this world. This is why God asks us, you know what? Hey, I've created you uniquely. You're a special people. You're a peculiar people. You're a people that's not weird, but you're a people that have my spirit in you, and you live differently than everything else around you, and you walk my path, and you understand I'm a God who created you. I'm a God who provides for you. I'm a God who leads you. I'm a God who sustains you. I'm a God who puts purpose in you. And if you will walk in it and fulfill that purpose, I'll do what I say I'll do. Jesus came and he gave his life on a cross to save his people from their sin, missing the mark of God's glorious standard, to save us from our sin. But he also deposits God's spirit in us so that we can have a rich and satisfying life, so we can prosper in all the things that God came to give us to do. But oftentimes we're swayed to the left or to the right because we don't stay prepared. I mean, if you're going to prepare to walk through a thicket or briar patches, you don't just go into that briar patch without putting chaps or boots or clothes on, do you? You prepare yourself. And some of us are walking into the briar patch of life and we're not prepared. We haven't put on what the Bible refers to as the full armor of God. And we're trying to walk through life without the direction of Jesus in our life, the purpose of God in our life, and we're missing so much about what God wants to do. Set yourself apart. Be prepared. Wake up in the morning and say, today I'm set apart. I'm set apart from the rest of the world. I'm special. I'm going to fulfill God's destiny, come hell or high water. I'm going to move it forward. I don't care what they said and I heard. Those are two biggest lies in the whole world anyway. I'm going to step into it and I'm going to be it and I'm going to do it. And I'm going to partner with God's people in order to see his plan fulfilled. See, the enemy wants you to be a lone ranger. He don't want you to do it as a unit, as a group of people. And yes, God gave, you know, the gift of leadership to Joshua and said, speak into these people. But he also says, Joshua, you need to partner with the people. Tell them to purify themselves because I'm getting ready to do great and wonders among all of you. So Joshua challenged the people. Set yourself apart. Stop being foolish in life. Stop giving yourself over to your ancestral gods. Stop, you know, being halfway in and halfway out. Purify yourself, set yourself apart. And I do believe that God wants to do great and mighty things through us, but we have to set ourselves apart. The next thing I wrote down about this passage of scripture is this, is if we're going to possess the promise, we got to remember God's of faithfulness. Remember God's of faithfulness. Anybody, has God been faithful to anybody in here today? Come on. Yes, the enemy is at war with the Spirit of the living God in you. Your battle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against the powers and principalities in dark spaces and places. And the reality of it is those powers and principalities are taking it out on your relationships. They're taking it out on your life, the prosperity that God wants to give you in your life. But God says, hey, you know what? Through it all, remember my faithfulness. Look what he says in Joshua chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. Bible says, when all the people had crossed the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, now choose 12 men. That's a group of people, one from each tribe. Tell them to take 12 stones from the buried place where the priests are standing in the middle of the Jordan River. In other words, God says, I went before them with the priests. I'm standing behind them with the priests. I am with them with the priests. He says, carry them out and you need to pile these stones up at a place where you will camp tonight. So Joshua called together the 12 men he had chosen. One from each of the tribes of Israel. He told them, go into the middle of the Jordan in front of the ark of the Lord, your God. Each of you must pick up a stone and carry it on your shoulder, 12 stones in all, one for each of the 12 tribes of Israel. We will use these stones to build a memorial. Everybody say memorial. We're going to build a memorial to remember God's faithfulness. Here we are on Memorial Day weekend. We're remembering the courage and the faithfulness of those who fought for our freedom in this country. We're remembering that and the sacrifice they made in order for us to walk in freedom. But can I tell you something? What would be the biggest slap in the face to those who gave their life so that you and I could walk in freedom? For us to stay in bondage. And the reality of it is, I encourage you in this free country, this free world, walk in freedom. Be who God has designed you to be. We live in a great country and people have died for you. But I also need you to know that God has been faithful. He came to do what he said he would do. He gave his one and only son on a cross for whoever would believe would not perish but have eternal life. Why don't you walk in the freedom that Jesus came to give you? He came to deliver you out of bondage, but he came to carry you into the promised land so you could live a rich and satisfying life. Build a memorial. In the future, your children will ask, what do these stones mean? And then you can tell them. They remind us that the Jordan River stopped flowing when the Ark of the Lord's covenant went across. These stones will stand as a memorial among the people of Israel forever. Again, many, many months ago, as we prepared to leave Main Street, move into a tent, eventually move into the foyer, eventually move into this arena, we took some rocks over at Main Street and we wrote some words on those rocks. And many of you still are hanging on to those rocks right now. But last weekend, we had our grand opening here. And now it's time to prepare to bring those rocks back in. If you lost your rock, we'll provide more in the future. But the reality of it is, what are we going to do with those rocks? We're going to take those rocks and we're going to stack them up. And we ask you to write praises on those rocks. In other words, pick up some stones to praise the faithfulness of your God along the journey. And maybe you got some other praises to remember your great God and how faithful he's been in your life along this journey to get us to this space. We got further to go. We got more generations behind us. There's more work for God's people to do in this city and around this world. So what we're going to do is we're going to take those stones and we're going to stack them up. We're going to eventually put them in some cylinders and we're going to put them as a memorial out here for people to look at and begin to remember God was faithful. When he brought the people into this land, into this space, into this arena back in 2024, there's some people that went on a journey and they stayed the course. And God was faithful, and he did exactly what he said he was going to do. He placed the people in this space to be a light unto the world, and he's making a difference in and through them, and he was faithful. So over the next several weeks, there's going to be some bins out in the foyer. I'm going to invite you to bring those rocks, those stones back with you, stack them in there, and then we're going to begin to build this memorial for the future generations. Why would we do such a thing? To remind the next generation and the next generation and the next generation that God was faithful. And he did what he said he's going to do, and he's going to continue to do what he says he'll do. And our hope is that those stacks of stones, those memorials will begin to inspire the faith of those behind us to do greater things. More things, believe God for greater things, to take the good news of Jesus to the nations of the world and do more, inspire them to do more when they walk in. Many, many years ago, it's actually on April 4th, 2004. The reason I know that is because it's wrote on this rock. But in our living room, when less than 12 people were meeting in a living room, We went over this same passage of scripture and we said, hey, you know what? God's going to do great and mighty things on a journey. And what we want you to do is we want you to ride on a rock. You know what? The faithfulness of God and what he's done in your life this day. 12 people. I think on this day it was less than 12. But when we announced that, there was a lady, her name was Phyllis Festman. Her daughter may be with us today. I don't know. She moved back here just a few months ago. But Phyllis Festman lived across the street from me, and she was one of those people in that. And she wrote on this rock, and I still have this rock today in my hand right here. And it says this, Christ was fully accepted in my mind, my soul, and my body. Can I tell you something? God is faithful. He'll do what he says he's going to do with 12 people in a living room, with 12,000 people sitting in an arena. But why do I hang on to this rock, this memorial? Why do I hang on to this? It's continually to remind me of why God planted us as a church in this community to begin with. And it was so people could fully accept Jesus into their mind, their body, their soul, and their spirit. And become all he had designed them to be. It wasn't just happenstance move here and start a little get together in our living room. No, it was a vision for God to do greater things. And can I tell you something? Thousands and thousands and thousands of people have begin to see God do these great things in their life along the journey. But we need to be reminded of God's faithfulness, and we also need to stack these stones of praise to help the next generation to remember God's faithfulness. And so when you can walk by that pile of stones, when you get old and you're walking around like a grandmama or granddaddy, and little great grandkids are behind you. They say, what's them rocks mean? Well, honey, back in 2020, God showed up and began to show off. This wasn't nothing but a swamp. And we put eight feet of dirt in this hole over here. Off of Robert A. It wasn't nothing out here. Look at all these thousands of people today. God was faithful. He did what he said he was going to do. stack the stones. He's faithful. But some of our kids need to get married and start having them grandkids. Amen. Can't last that long. Our heart's desire in everything that's done here at Valor's Church is to continue to hand down God's amazing faithfulness in who he is. We want to bring those kids up in such a way they worship this one true God. They worship the Most High God. Oh yeah, there's other gods everywhere, but we're talking about the Most High God. We're talking about the Creator. We're talking about the one that deserves our allegiance and our worship. Study the book continually, and we're trying to teach that. That's one of the reasons we started the Valor's Academy, not so we could just have people, you know, separated from school systems, but so we could teach the Word of God in such a way that it inspires people to step up and be all God's designed them to be. And sometimes young people become rebellious. But the reality of it is, if you keep putting the truth in them, the Word of God will not return a void. And those things that are deposited in them will come back and begin to change their life so they can move forward with their purpose. Let's teach them while they're young. Let's believe great things. Let's not just have, you know, we have staff. We have children's church over there. Children's church. It's not just a place for you as a parent to get away to a service so people can keep your babies for a minute. No. I'm telling you, they're putting God values in them right now as you sit in this room. Children's church. It's amazing. But if we're going to step into the promise, got to remember God's faithfulness. And we got to also remember his purpose. Sometimes we forget. It's amazing if you study geography and you begin to look at some of the things in the Middle East. But what I want to say about this today is I think we miss that God is a God who wants to flow in us and flow out of us. He wants overflow. And what does that mean to you? Well, you know, overflow is God getting in and washing out the old, but beginning to spill over on the things around you and change those things. In other words, God don't want you just to be a cup to contain him, but God wants you to be a cup that contains him but overflows with him. He wants you to be a river, as one old preacher says, not a reservoir. In other words, he wants you to flow. But what does he want to flow? He wants to put all these values in you, all this provision in you, all this plan in you, so it flows out of you into the world around you. So the world sees this miracle working God. He worked in my life. He transformed my life. He flows out of my life. He gives me purpose. He gives me victory. He helps me be more than a conqueror in life's challenges. Look what it says here in Joshua chapter 4, verse 24. The reason God did all these things was so all the nations of the earth might know the Lord's hand is powerful, and so that you, Joshua, and the people may fear the Lord, your God, forever. In other words, God does these great and mighty things in us so we will respect him and follow him, but also so the world around us will know him. And this is vital. In other words, God never saves you just to be saved. He don't deliver you just to deliver you like a piece of mail. He delivers you and he saves you and he has a calling, an assignment on your life. And some of us are refusing to walk in that assignment because we're not filling ourselves up with the goodness of God over and over and over again. And we want to go our way, not his way. And his way is difficult, but understand when God told the priest, the Ark of the Covenant will go before you. It will be behind you and I will be with you. Understand what that really meant to Joshua and those people. The Ark of the Covenant contained some items. Remember what they were? A jar of manna, where he fed them along the journey in the wilderness. He made provision for them. Remember that? And it had a jar of manna in there to remind them that God will provide every step of the way. It had a budded staff from Aaron, which represented leadership. It reminded them that, you know what? God will lead me every step of the journey. It had a copy of the stone tablets, the Ten Commandments in it, to remind us of God's amazing character. And if we will attain to his character, he'll develop our character. Come on. And so it's giving your allegiance to God. What is your allegiance to? Because really what God's word says is our allegiance needs to be him and him alone. He's a jealous God. He ain't into this multi-God stuff. This multi-leader stuff, this multi-provider stuff. No, no, no. Look what it says, Joshua 24, verses 14 and 15. Joshua tells the people before he dies at 110 years old, I hope I make it that long, fear the Lord and serve him wholeheartedly. Everybody say wholeheartedly. All my heart. Fear God. Serve him wholeheartedly. All my heart. All my heart. Serve him wholeheartedly. Fear God. Serve him wholeheartedly. Put away forever idols your ancestors worship when they lived beyond the Euphrates River in Egypt. Serve the Lord alone. But if you refuse to serve the Lord, look what Joshua says, then choose today whom you will serve. At least get a vision for your life. Would you prefer the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates, or will it be the gods of the Amorites whose land you are now live in? But as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. See, Joshua gave his full allegiance to God's purpose and God's plan and God's provision and God's power. It's full allegiance. God, without you, I am nothing. God, without your spirit being alive and well in your people, we are nothing. God, without you working in us, putting the truth in us and working the old out, we are nothing. But God, with you and our allegiance towards you and our fellowship behind you, God, we can do great and mighty things. We can live a life of overflow in a world that's full of trouble. But we may remember that there's a thief that wants to kill, steal, and destroy our God destiny and steal the purpose from our life. But God, we refuse. We're going to follow you all the days of my life. It's for me and my house. We'll serve the Lord. You choose who you're going to serve. But God says, if you choose to serve me, begin to expect a rich and satisfying life. Have you received Jesus as your Savior and Deliverer? Have you received him as your refuge? Have you received him as your Lord and your leader? Has he become your savior? Does he lead your life? Do you choose to follow him whenever it don't even make sense? Because that's where God calls you to a place of faith. Believe in God and his purpose in this world. And my friend, if you're not living a life of overflow, may the day be the day that you begin to live this rich and satisfying life. Let me pray for you today. God, you're an amazing God. I thank you for every man, woman, boy, and girl here underneath the sound of my voice. God, I thank you for all of those around the world watching right now on the internet. But God, I pray today that we would get a word in our heart and we would be your people. God, we would have to begin to put out more chairs, expect you to do more in people's life. God, we begin to have to start new services. We would have to begin to expand buildings and facilities to hold all the miracles that you want to do in this land. God, I pray for people as they're troubled by this world, that God, they would step into the fullness of who you say they are, Jesus. God, they can be forgiven of all their sin. And God, they can begin to have you as their savior and leader if they'll submit themselves to your purpose, your plan, and begin to follow you all the days of their life. God, may we get prepared for greater things. God, may we be your people in a people to change a people because of who Jesus is in our life. Jesus, thank you for forgiving us of our sin. We turn away from our sin. We trust you as our savior, our leader. We believe you gave your life's blood on a cross and resurrected from a grave so we could have life and we could be saved from our sin and we could have life and it could be rich and satisfying. And we pray this all in your holy and precious name, Jesus. Amen.